Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Disbelief. It's crazy. Can't wait to hug my family. Jeez. It's hard to describe. I didn't really know what it'd be like to actually win it, but just seeing all these Warriors battle just feels, unbelievable. So words can't describe how I feel right now.
There's Nathan MacKinnon last night after the Avs hoisting the Stanley Cup, and quite the display. I got to say, I enjoyed. I've seen six championships now. I've seen them, you know, and again, 96's Avs team. I was 10, maybe not appreciating it as much, but a couple years later, I see the Broncos go back to back, and I remember those vividly. I remember the Broncos post game and how cool it was. This one's for John with Pat Bowlen. Like, again, that moment. You asked me during the break, Jade's like, going back to our poll question a couple of weeks ago, what was your favorite championship? Where does this one rank? I was growing up and a diehard Broncos fan, more so than an Avs fan. I don't think anything can beat out the first one by the Broncos. It was special in 96. The Avs were so much fun, and their story was great. But I don't even know that I paid that much attention to they're coming over here. They were the Nordiques. Now they're the Avalanche. And, you know, I just knew, this is a new team. This is the new Colorado Avalanche. It was awesome. But I still think it's got to be Elway's. But this is pretty close, man. This one here, just because of the greatness that's on the ice, the great athletes. I mean, we like to talk about Mount Rushmore a lot. You got a lot of guys right here that are going to be great staples, great names that we discuss for years to come. I mean, Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon, those two guys right there. You know, when we talk about the Broncos, most of their greatness, I mean, their Hall of Famers, outside of Vaughn and Peyton, all of their Hall of Famers came from that stretch when they won the two Super Bowls, because that's what it takes. And now, well, that's what you're seeing with the Avs. I mean, Landeskog is going to go down as one of the top players in the Colorado sports scene history. Nathan MacKinnon. As we said, Cale Makar. Long way to go for him, but certainly well on his way. But this is an amazing thing, man. I mean, to hear that from MacKinnon and then to watch last night. Don't you love to, by the way? And I know this isn't new, but I think after a hard-fought series, don't you think it calms the fans down seeing the players all handshake? Like, get in a line and hit. So I just think that it ties it all together. And I'm all for individuality and being, you know, whether it's a cocky guy or a quiet guy or whatever. You know, it used to drive me crazy when people would be like, well, do it like, was it Barry Sanders or who? I don't know who it was. Just hand the ball. Score the touchdown like you've been there before. I don't want robots. I mean, I respect the guy that goes and just hands the ball to the ref. But I also am thoroughly entertained by the guy that does cartwheels after it. So I think you can still keep that individuality by shaking hands and stuff. I think that all sports should go to it. I really do, especially in the playoffs.
I have a side question for you.
Okay.
So do you still feel that way when it comes to baseball, like players?
Bat flips and stuff?
Bat flip,
yeah. Love it. Think okay. We need to do more of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't like it?
No, I'm a fan. I think it's like, why wouldn't you?
Baseball would grow their sport if they come out of their shell a little bit more. Like, I like seeing a pitcher enthusiastic and, you know, fist bumping and when he gets a good strikeout.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's like, yeah, you've been there before, but it doesn't happen every day either.
No, and to throw one strike in Major League Baseball, even though you do it a lot, it's still a very rare thing.
Exactly.
I mean, it's tough to do. No, I'm all for, like, being an individual in sports. I just think that there's no harm in doing the handshake. I think especially in a hard-fought playoff series like that, to me, it wraps it all up. Now, I know a lot of guys will go seek each other out and shake hands anyway. Like in the Super Bowl, they're not getting in a line, but they're going to go out in the middle of the field and shake hands and stuff. But hockey has this... There's just a bunch of really unique things about hockey. And again, every sport has their own uniqueness. Hockey has this mystique, this, I don't know, this kind of like urban legend thing. Like the Stanley Cup is its own character.
It has so much traditionality.
Yeah, it's true. That's a good word, Jay. It's good work by you. I mean, you've got this guy who's famous now, who has been. And I haven't paid much attention to him because we haven't seen him in a while. But Phil Pritchard. The keeper of the cup. Like, wouldn't you love to have that job? I Googled how much he makes, and I don't know if any of these are reliable, but I'm getting anywhere from $175,000 to $200,000. I don't know if that's true. But he goes everywhere with the cup. He's got awesome, you know, hairy hair, like in Dumb and Dumber. Love it. He's got the white gloves. Walking around all creepy like with the cup, and I just started following him on Twitter, and he gets into it, man. I mean, he goes everywhere. His Twitter account reads, "The Hockey Hall of Fame's keeper of the cup posts stories of life on the road with the Stanley Cup." Don't think the team gets to keep it for like how long? I think is it 100 days? The team gets to keep it and then pass it around or whatever. I'm trying to find it. I had that information. But that part is pretty cool. There's one trophy, and then you just keep adding on to it, and you actually have to pay a guy to babysit it and make sure that it gets in bed in its case by 11 o'clock. Do you think it actually breaks curfew? What happens if it breaks curfew? Does it, like, absorb the player? Cale Makar kept it out too late. He is now one with the cup.
Yeah, it's probably like the mask with Jim Carrey.
Right.
That's kind of where...
Turns you into something different.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, but like I was talking about his TikTok earlier, I saw another one recently. He was talking about what happens after the cup gets filled up with, yeah, like, too many plaques.
Mm-hmm.
They go to, like, the Hall of Fame or whatever and just sit there. So, like, it's 13 championships per, like, layer.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So not every championship is actually... I didn't think that seemed possible, but yeah, I was like, they must have figured it out.
Yeah, no, not everyone is on there.
That's cool. I did not know that.
I think it's like the last 65 years.
Do they take it then, and when it's displayed in the Hall of Fame? Because after the Avs are done with it, they'll take it back and put it in the Hall of Fame. And then is it joined with the rest of them again, or are they off by themselves, like the other placards or whatever?
So I think they're all together, uh-huh, but like they just take them off.
But they like place it back on there or something when they bring it back?
So the Avs will be on there for like 65 years. But like once the Avs layer is full, then it moves up. And then once you're at the top layer and you can't move up anymore, then they take those 13 off and they just display them in the Hall of Fame.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Like, that's a cool thing, right?
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, I'm a baseball guy, so I like those kind of things.
I like that kind of neat stuff. I mean, those kind of deals are always kind of cool to look at, for sure. First Advantage, text line 888-530-0043. Here, Jades, look this one up for us. Mysterio wants to know how many Colorado Eagles are. Is on Frankie, obviously, right? And then who else? Any former Eagles that were also Avs, which obviously the Eagles are their direct, whatever you want to call it, minor league farm team, whatever. But that's kind of a cool story, too. I don't know. Jade's going to find it. He'll figure it all out. But I do like the ceremony surrounding the cup. I like that they all take turns lifting it up, and then they hand it to somebody else, and then he gets his moment of glory. Everybody on the roster gets that, and I think that's pretty cool. And then the handshake again. They do it all the time. It's just I like that it brings the game or the series full circle. I wish the NBA would do that, at least in the playoffs. At least in the final game. And I know they go up to each other individually, but I like the fact that they're all forced to go through a line and shake hands. I think it's good sportsmanship. I mean, I don't mind trash talking, and I love hating sports. You know, I don't like hate, real hate, but in sports, like hating your bitter rival, just not being cool with them and not that kind of, I like that stuff, but I also kind of like rounding this thing out. And I feel like the Tampa Bay fans, it works for them too, where they're like, all right, well done. What respect. A lot of Tampa Bay fans just stuck around at the end to watch the Avs in their ceremony, because at the end of the day, the hockey fans are just hockey fans. Even if they're not, like, even if they're brokenhearted, they're mad at the Avs, can't stand it, whatever, they're still hockey fans, and there's still this respect to Colorado. I could feel that. It's not always the, I don't think Boston fans were like, oh, respect to Golden State. Oh, we respect it. Maybe some. But most were just not happy. I just feel like hockey fans are kind of a different group. What'd you find for me, Jades?
So I can't really find like a exact answer. There's not really one that's coming up. But Pavel Francouz. Whatever. Yeah. Same difference.
Yeah.
He was an Eagle.
He was an Eagle. I said that. I said that, Jades, while you were researching. Yeah, he was an Eagle. He was fun to watch.
I was in the depths of the internet looking for that.
I saw him a couple of times at Budweiser Vent Center. Yeah.
There was another. Yeah, there's been quite a few players that have been called up, but I didn't realize how many moves they actually make.
Yeah, that's what's cool about the Eagles when they did move up. What are they, the AHL now? They were the ECHL, or is it the other way around? They're the AHL now. When they moved up, that was kind of cool because you could be going to an Eagles game one night, and then you could see an Avs player called up the very next night, and then or an Eagles player called up the very next night, play for the Avs for a little bit, go on a road trip because they're hurt, and then come back and play for the Eagles.
Jared Bednar had actually won a championship in the ECHL and AHL.
Oh, yeah. Jade, it's like you watched the post-game show last night.
Believe it or not, I did.
I think he's like the only guy to do that. Isn't he? He's like the only guy to do that.
Beats me. I just watched the show.
But that's what's special about Bednar, because he wasn't an NHL assistant or legendary player. He just knows the game of hockey, and he got the best out of this group. I'm thinking about like the Duchesnes and the guys that didn't want to be here, that didn't see eye to eye with Sakic and maybe Bednar, and they're gone. Well, it's like, well, this guy clearly had a vision, and the team responded in a great way. And here we are. Here we are talking about not just a great championship run, and it was. It seemed easier than it was, because you win, you go 16-4. It seemed easier, but there was certainly some drama. You know, game three, we had drama in the final. There was drama against St. Louis. I mean, who are we kidding? For the most part, save for a hiccup against St. Louis, and then the game three against Tampa Bay, I don't know that anybody was extremely worried after Friday night. I think you just thought, okay, yeah, this is one of those for the Avs to lose. They'll go to Tampa Bay and probably win it, not celebrate in front of their fans. I was never in doubt that they would lose any of these series. I wasn't in doubt. I thought this would go seven. I actually predicted both teams to split at home. None of the way I predicted things happened the way it went down. I did think that. No, see, everything went opposite. The only thing I got right was that the Avs would lose Monday, June 20th, first game on the road, and then they would lose, and then I had them winning on Wednesday, June 22nd. But I think I even reversed that when the game actually happened, so I changed.
I wish I would have broadcasted my picks more, because I called the series game for game.
I think you did, yeah. I know you called the last two. Spot on. Our boy Brian got the score call right on Wednesday. He said 3-2 Avs. That was the overtime win.
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate, because I made my official like series prediction while I was on vacation the week that I was out.
It doesn't count if you're not even in the state.
So now I don't have any proof.
Oh, man. Jays, that could have been. You should have texted to me. I probably wouldn't have read it. Unless it was my pick. No, I'll believe you. Let's let the record show that I'll believe you. Okay. I'm just looking. Just looking back. Look what they did to Nashville. 7-2. Then they go to overtime in game two, and we were worried about it, right? Then 7-3, 5-3. Then St. Louis was the only other, before the final, that was the only series that we were somewhat worried about. They won in overtime. Remember that we there was kind of a scary time in that series because the Avs, they were up 3-1 or something like, or 2-1, I don't know. No, it was 2-0 or something. And then I think St. Louis came back, made it a game. They go to overtime. The Avs barely get by, and we're like, uh-oh. And then they lost 4-1 the very next game. So we're thinking, they gave up a lead, barely snuck past St. Louis game one. They lose game two in an ugly way. And that was the drama at that point. And then they win game three. That was right. And then the Kadri stuff started. They come back for game four after all the comments and the racist stuff going against Kadri. He comes out. He was the top performer in that game. They won 6-3. Then they lose game five. 5-4 in overtime. I think that was their only overtime loss in the playoffs. And then they finish it out at St. Louis. Again, that's just another crazy note, right? They become the fourth team in NHL history to close out all of their playoff series on the road. Everyone was on the road. They swept Nashville, so second two games were on the road. They beat St. Louis in six games. They finished that out at St. Louis. They swept Edmonton, and then they beat Tampa Bay at Game 6 on the road. Phenomenal. 5-1 in overtime. Every win but six of them were come-from-behind wins. 10 come-from-behind wins by the Avs. And then 9-1 on the road. Some phenomenal stats there for you on this Monday afternoon. 21 minutes after the hour, are the Avs going to repeat this thing? They're going to go back to back and start this dynasty, because that would be the dynasty. We would be in dynasty mode at that stage. We're on dynasty watch for the Colorado Avalanche. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. Will the Avalanche win it again next year? That's the Method Flow Products poll question of the day. 22 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. We'll take a short break. You're listening to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Okay, so you said the Yin Yang Twins were at the free stage at the Greeley Stampede? Is it Yin Yang? Is that right? Because they were like, people listened to them when I was growing up.
I think it's Yin Yang.
Yin Yang.
Yeah.
And they sing the salt shaker song. Yeah.
Shake it like a salt shaker.
There it is.
Yeah, they were there.
They were there at the free stage.
Yeah.
Like, you could just walk up, and there they are. Like,
I walked
up. They sold so many albums or whatever back. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a fan, personally, but.
Yeah. No, I paid my $5 entry fee, walked right up, and saw them.
Are you kidding me? So the free stage is kind of where it's at, then.
I mean, apart from Brad Paisley and John Party, that's where I go.
Yeah, you went to the free stage, huh? Did you go see Brad Paisley?
No.
No? That was during game
five. My parents were there. They said it was good, but.
I heard it was good. I heard a lot of people say, I mean, again, not my forte, but I just can't believe that the Twins were there at the free stage. That's the Yin Yang Twins, man. I mean, they were always like in pregame warmups and stuff for basketball. Everybody played their stuff in the early 2000s. That's crazy. Made it to the free stage at the Greeley Stampede. 28 minutes after the hour. We're going to have plenty more opportunities for you to win tickets for the rest of the rodeo. We've got rodeo for the next four nights. We've got concert tickets for you for the weekend. Probably some demo derby stuff, bullfighting stuff. We got a lot of that. Thanks to Buildings by Design for making our ticket giveaways possible. And the rodeo, if you can't make it out, or even if you do make it out, listen to the guys. Brian Gary and Tanner Schwinn of Good Morning NoCo are broadcasting the rodeo. And they're fun. It's a fun thing. It, you know, it's they know enough to be dangerous about rodeo, but more importantly, it's entertaining. So you got to tune in. They'll be back on the air tonight at 7 o'clock for more rodeo coverage. So tune in. They have a fun time with it. It's great. You don't want to miss it. And you don't want to miss the morning show. 6 to 9 a.m. doing mornings like we've never done at KFKA. I'll put that morning show up against anybody. Brian and Tanner doing a wonderful job with Good Morning NoCo. What else we got? First Advantage text line. 888-530-0043. The UNC Bears announced, too, Jade's, their new baseball coach. So they got a new baseball coach, and I believe on Clark and the Coach, we're talking, you know, promoting all the shows here, I believe they're going to have him on the show, on their show, is it tomorrow? Mike Anderson, Northern Colorado alum, is the new baseball coach for the UNC Bears. So people were wondering, is what's going to happen with the baseball program? Are they going to discontinue this thing? What's going to happen here? But released last week, kind of caught up in the middle of our NHL coverage, the Bears did announce that Northern Colorado alum and former Men's College World Series skipper at Nebraska, Mike Anderson, has been named the 10th head coach in UNC baseball history. So I believe he's going to be on the show on with Clark and the Coach coming up later this week. You don't want to miss that. Darren says, I'm thrilled, Mike Anderson said, I'm thrilled to be back home again at UNC. I want to thank Darren Dunn and the hiring committee for this opportunity to return home and be the head coach at such a tradition-rich program. As an alum, I'm excited to bring back a level of baseball that we are all ready for. I look forward to developing our players and on and off the field. I'm eager to make Colorado baseball relevant again. And that's key, Colorado baseball relevant. It's so far from relevant. Have you been to a UNC Bears baseball game in a while, Jades? I know I haven't.
Here's the problem, though, is that Northern Colorado baseball isn't irrelevant. The UNC Bears program is getting that way because you have people in the community that are so good at baseball, like high school level. I mean, there's a kid who's going to be a senior at Eaton who's committed to Arkansas.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, baseball up here, we started covering it. We started carrying high school baseball games because it is so popular. There are so many great ball players, and obviously Eaton leads that thing, and we do a lot of Eaton coverage when it comes to baseball. Makes sense. It's a hotbed up here. You know, we were shocked as hell the first year we decided to broadcast baseball. People went nuts. You know, the games are at 4:00. Moms and dads can't listen. Alums can't listen as much, or can't go, excuse me. So they're tuning in, and it went nuts. And it continues to grow. Our baseball coverage is, our preps coverage is unlike any in the state. But baseball is relevant up here. You're right. That's a good point. UNC, though, I mean, you could quiz a random person and be like, do they even have a baseball team? And there's a lot of people that would say, I don't know. I have no idea.
Which is why it's shocking because, I mean, you have this humongous pool in your backyard, yet it's you just don't utilize it whatsoever.
Well, and I like the fact that they would bring in some local guys, not all local guys, but, you know, I think that that's what you have to do when you're a struggling program is you at least need to be local because then at the very least, the same people that were attending the games in high school probably going to come out and see you once in a while. Now, I always say that for UNC football. Go state as much as you can. Get local guys in as you're trying to build this thing. And not to say local should ever go away, but when you're trying to rebuild a program and you want butts in the stands, then you need to get local kids that people know and want to come support. I'll tell you, I was so shocked that Austin Eckler, that guy at Eaton, I mean, I covered some of his games, Jades. He did not play for your UNC Bears. I just thought that was ridiculous. I mean, it was crazy to me that he was not playing for the University of Northern Colorado. 33 minutes after the hour, shout out to our friends at No Limit Collectibles. Buy, sell, trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. I know they're going to be getting some Avs stuff. I know they're probably going to be, you know, they got cards galore when it comes to sports. They have the sports memorabilia that you can deck out the man cave or the office with. What's up, Jade?
I know personally they've already got quite a few Cale Makar, McKinnon autographed cards.
Sweet.
So go pick them
That's
up.
That's a good note because you got to go get a Cale Makar signed stuff. Wow. Yeah. Get over to No Limit Collectibles and they'll add some of those cards to your collection, because Cale Makar is going to be that guy. He is going to be the legend for this team. Nathan MacKinnon as well. No Limit Collectibles right by our friends at Cables. You can go 2-for-1. Pop by, grab some lunch from Cables, and then stop by No Limit Collectibles and look at some of those new additions, Colorado Avalanche style, now while the going is good. 34 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
You know, you just shut out the noise, and my teammates have my back, my family, you know, they never let me stop believing in myself, and it's incredible.
You talk about the teammates having your back. What was it like sort of passing the cup around and realizing all the hard work you put in finally paid off?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really feel real yet. It's surreal, and it's incredible. I mean, Stanley Cup champs, you dream about that your whole life.
Do you remember when you got traded here? And think back to that time, and now that you're a Stanley Cup champion, how crazy is that?
Well, I mean, what a ride. It's incredible. It's been hard. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. It's the hardest thing we've ever done. And, you know, every second's been worth.
There's Darcy Kemper. I got a lot of respect for that guy. I think he just... I'll tell you, some of my favorite stories, you know, are the guys that do struggle a little bit, and then they find a way to bounce back. And that, to me, sometimes that's a good way to tell if he's a real champion or not. Maybe not the best. Certainly not the best. And I'm not comparing the two, but Vasilevsky, he's so good for one of the many reasons he's so good. He could have a bad game and then turn it around as if it never happened, and he's great for six more games. That's what I really liked with Darcy, is you had some bad situations throughout the playoffs, a couple of bad, really bad games. And I would say he bounced back for the most part every single time.
Well, and maybe that's a good, like, a telltale sign as to why you should re-sign him. I mean, he's showing resiliency like the best in the world does.
Yeah, and if your defense is playing like I thought MacKinnon kind of changed the way he played in the series defensively. You know, their defense was amazing last night. So if you pair that and you can dial in on that, you know, Kemper's going to benefit from that. So, like, I mean, it's not like Kemper was bad. Like, in the Nashville series, he gave up two goals. He gave up one in the overtime. That was when he got, wasn't that when he got poked in the eye? Frankie took over for the rest of that series. And then Kemper was back in net for the start of the St. Louis deal. And he had some interesting games. You know, that overtime loss, he gave up five goals. And then they bounce back and they win 3-2. And it's not, again, he wasn't perfect. And there were definitely games where he's far from that. We were debating whether or not he should get another shot. And boy, did that pay off, that gamble, if you want to call it that, by Jared Bednar to stay with Darcy Kemper. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. All right, the Stanley Cup takes some wear and tear over the years, right, when these guys are getting it. It barely made it out of the arena before it got its first dent. Who was it who dropped it? It was smooth how he did it, though. Here it is. Play it.
There's a little bit of a tumble. It's fumbled by Nicholas Obey-Kupel, and he may hear about that for the rest of his career.
Didn't you think it was kind of smooth how he did it, though? He, like, slid into it, and it falls, and he's kind of like, ta-da, here I am. I meant to do that.
Yeah, you totally could see it, though. It's dented pretty bad, just right at the base.
And you know it's going to get, I mean, it's going to have wear and tear big time, because these guys are taking it out. You know, they get it for like 100 days or something like that. I don't know, maybe 30 days, but they get it for a while. So all the players get to go take it. They each get to spend a night with it or whatever, party with it. If you were at a party, just by chance, you're not old enough to drink, but let's say they put milk in there or something, Jades. Would you drink out of it? If you were at a party or at a restaurant, suddenly you look over and they're all like busting through there with the cup and they're getting ready to go behind. Like, it's one of those restaurants that also turns into a nightclub at night. So that's why you could legally be there. And then you just happen to find yourself close by and they're passing the milk around. Would you drink the milk? Would you drink out of that thing?
Is it going to be recorded?
Yes. It'll be 100%. Recorded. So, okay. What if it wasn't recorded? It's not worth your time?
It's not worth it. I mean, I want to have the memory. I mean, if I get roofied or something from the milk.
From the milk?
Roofied. No, I meant if the milk is spoiled.
I don't know, man. Yeah, probably. But there's like some sweatiness on that. Like, do you think they wash it after, like last night? Is this thing before, who took it home last night? Was it EJ? Eric Johnson got it first? Does he wash it kind of before he brings it home? Or does everybody just go, this is the cup, here it is. We're not washing it, nothing. It's just, this is it. It's going to have sweat and gross people's lips all over it and everything.
Maybe Mr. My Precious cleans it after after everyone's been handling it.
What's his name again? Pritchard? Phil Pritchard? Do you think he has to clean it too?
Oh, I'm sure.
The keeper of the cup.
If he's making 200 grand, he better.
I just like that they call him the keeper of the cup. Doesn't it remind you of like an old medieval show, movie or something, and he's just like this little ogre of a guy who lives in a hut and it's like, follow me and you will find the cup.
No, exactly. That's why I already forgot his name, but regardless,
Phil,
he's Mr.
Pritchard.
My Precious because he's little guy from Lord of the Rings.
What does he look like? He looks like, what do you think? He looks like the Gollum guy?
No, he's like, it's my cup, my precious.
It is funny watching him because he was in the house Friday because they thought maybe the Avs would lock that thing up, but he was there. I do follow the Stanley Cup on Twitter. Do you follow the actual Stanley Cup on Twitter? It's pretty fun. I like that. It's very motivational. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
But now I follow Phil Pritchard. You gotta follow Phil Pritchard, keeper of the cup. He has 153,600 followers. We need to up that number. You need to go follow him. Just search at keeper of the cup. That guy needs a lot more followers. The photo he posted 3 hours ago is a picture of Cale Makar and Joe Sakic holding the holding Cale's Conn Smythe trophy. And he posted, a photo is worth 1,000 words and so much more. 2 Conn Smythe Trophy winners, 2 Stanley Cup champions, 1 Norris Trophy winner, 1 member of the Hockey Hall of Fame, and so lots more at Avalanche. Yeah, go follow that guy. He's cool. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. Do want to thank Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies for over 51 years. OCR has been the specialist in the medicine of motion. They have 6 medical campuses. They are providing care along the Front Range. Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies is proud to be Greeley's hometown orthopedic group for Collins, Loveland, all over the Front Range. That's Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Check out their website, orthohealth.com. All right, Jades, we're loving it, man. You got a parade on Thursday. You want to know the bad part about all of this? Is it's done. It's over. This was a miraculous journey, a championship series journey, all the way from the beginning with Nashville to here. And now we wait till training camp. I wish the Rockies would have been a little bit closer to 500, and maybe that could have got us through July. But now the next phase is the Broncos. Brian, Gary, Tanner, Schwintz, their poll question on Good Morning NoCo today was who's going to win the next championship in the state of Colorado? Is it going to be it's between the Broncos and the Avalanche? I mean, the Nuggets, I'm confident that they're in that they could get to that window. I got to see MPJ. I got to see Jamal Murray healthy. I got to see what it looks like. Rockies, hell no. Again, if you answered yes to will the Avalanche repeat, then they would get it. But if the Broncos somehow win a Super Bowl this year, they could be the next one. I don't know if they're Super Bowl favorites, though, but it's a possibility. All right, we'll wrap up the show on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Hey.
What are we going to do now, man? Jades, what? Give me one bullet point. One thing that should keep me somewhat interested in the Rockies. you thought I was just going to ask you to give me one thing to keep me interested. Are we done with the Rockies? They're 31-42. They got a series coming up against the Dodgers starting tonight. This thing is going to get out of control.
I'm switching
it
over to cornhole.
Okay. I saw that was on the other night. That would be fun. I was actually proposing that our morning show team, Brian and Tanner, get paid and just go to random people's houses and broadcast their cornhole game. We don't put it on the air, but they'll be so drunk out there that nobody will know. So we'll just act like they're doing it on radio. People will pay for that. That'd be good, right? Rockies going at it tonight against the Dodgers, 6:40. Tanner and I have a friendly, well, it's a lunch bet. Lunch bet that I said the Rockies would be no better than 8 games under .500 by the time we turn to July 1st. They are 11 games under with 3 games to go. So at the very least, Jades, we're going to push. Although I still think if you check the rule book there, I should win because I said they would be no better. And Tanner said they would be better than that. So shouldn't I win? I said they would be no better than 8 games under .500. Tanner said they would be better than 8 games. So to me, that would mean I've already won. I believe so. But Tanner's trying to wiggle out of it. He's trying to wiggle out of the bet. So I guess we'll see. I wanted to be wrong on this, but the Rockies just don't have it, man. It's so sad and frustrating, too, because you see what the Avs have done. You asked me the question, hey, why aren't the Nuggets as good as the Avs? Well, the Nuggets might be on their way. Who knows? The Broncos just got Russell Wilson. There is so much freaking excitement going on throughout the state. And the Rockies don't have any of it. But the Avalanche do. We'll be talking a lot more about some of the stories about the Avs going forward. Congratulations to the Colorado Avalanche. We'll leave you with this. Good night, Northern Colorado.